We need truckers. That's what we need. Kelly Crapo is Director of Safety with True North Compliance Services and has been working in the transportation industry for 13 years. Kelly, good to have you on News and Views.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you taking the time to talk about this important subject and what we're going to do. Current numbers show that the United States is currently about 80,000 truck drivers short to support our industry. And numbers are showing trending towards in the next 10 years will be over 1 million short of truck drivers. So in a time that we're already facing supply chain demands that are not being met, it's only going to get worse unless we really take a look at what's going on in our industry and what we can do to fix it. And first of all, I think what we have to do is thank those truck drivers that are currently out there. Those men and women go to work every day. And, you know, during a pandemic, during Christmas, you know, during the summer holidays when we're all on our boats and having a good time, they're in their trucks driving so that we can have the things that we have day in and day out. You know, and, you know, I've had the luxury of working from home, you know, here and there. Truck drivers don't have that luxury. They have to be in those trucks. So I can't thank those men and women who do this job day in and day out. So appreciative. And if we didn't have those, think of the things that we wouldn't have, groceries, you know, things on the stores at your local supermarkets and retail stores, things like that. We wouldn't have these things. So I am so thankful for those men and women that do this every day. But the fact of the matter is that we really need to focus on what are we going to do in the future to make sure that we continue to have truck drivers and continue to have those products on our shelves every day.
Kelly, why? I mean, that's the big question here. You can't fix it until you know the problem. Why is it? Because I have people in my life that are truckers. They make a very good living and they like the life. They love, being on the road, long distance haulers and short haulers and huge members of our community back home. Yep. The Jareds and the Tonys of the world that instantly come to mind. I mean, why is it that there aren't more Jareds and there aren't more Tonys?
Yep, and I'm with you. My dad is 72 years old, still driving truck. Kind of been exposed to the industry all my life. Here's the deal. There's a few reasons. So first of all, is we need to pay drivers more. A lot of trucking companies don't want me to say that, but that's the true statement. They make a decent living, but when it comes to comparatively what a CEO of a trucking company makes, or even someone like myself, a safety director, we need to figure out that how we can get some of the monies that we're all making into their pockets, because they are really who is at the backbone of all of this. There's a lot of trucking isn't as lucrative and exciting and fancy as it used to be in the 70s and the 80s. What's that movie with Burt Reynolds?
Smokey and the Bandit.
Yes, comes to mind. You know, that looked really fun and a great way to see the country. And people aren't just really attracted to the industry anymore. Part of it is aging population. Our truck driver average age is probably 50 to 60. In 10 years, those people are going to be looking to retire, so we're going to have to replace them. One of the issues that we have as far as regulation is concerned in the industry is if you're between 18 and 20, you're not allowed to cross the state lines. So you can't drive a truck across the state lines until you're 21. So wrap your head around this. You can send a driver from Fargo to Williston, but you can't send him from Fargo to Moorhead until he's 21. So I know it's silly, but if you think about it, it just doesn't make any sense. And when you think about that's something that we could change. We need to get these young people to understand what an important industry this is and something that they could go into. But if you're only strong-held being an intrastate, in-the-state-only driver from 18 to 20, it doesn't look as lucrative. And you're not going to make as much money as a short-haul driver or, an intrastate driver.
Sure.
Another issue that I think the numbers are kind of pointing to, in 2020, a new drug and alcohol clearinghouse rule came into effect by the FMCSA. And what that incurs is if a driver, a CDL driver, does test positive on a random or a pre-employment or a post-accident drug test, their name goes into a database, and they have to take certain steps to get their name off of the so-called naughty list. as of September of this year, and this program hasn't been going not quite 2 years, there's 72,000 drivers who are ineligible to drive because they've had a positive drug or alcohol test.
Does that include marijuana?
It does.
Okay, so if you got a P test and you've smoked a joint in the last X amount of time, you can end up on that naughty list.
Correct. And that is 100% where a lot of this is coming from, with states legalizing marijuana both medicinally and recreationally. We've had a big increase in marijuana use. And unfortunately, you're an interstate driver, so now you're a federally mandated employee. Until the entire, you know, United States passes the legalization of marijuana, I don't ever see CDL drivers being exempt from that. So that's putting a damper in our driving pool as well.
So,
and then lastly,
okay, go ahead,
one other
Kelly,
thing
sorry.
I want you to everyone to know about is coming in February of 2022, there is a new regulation that was passed in 2016, has been pushed out until 2022. I think we got 1 2-year extension a couple of years ago. If you, let's say, Joel, I'm assuming you don't have a CDL. Let's say you're going to go down to your local DMV and you want to obtain your CDL. It was pretty simple. As long as you felt like you had enough experience, you'd take your permit test, you'd get your permit, then you'd go drive with a CDL driver for a little while. You'd come back to the DMV, and then you'd take your behind-the-wheel test, and you'd get your CDL. Well, the FMCSA, which is the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, which is a branch of the Department of Transportation, a new rule in February, now will make anyone that wants to get a CDL or some endorsement enhancements or go from a Class B to a Class A license, you'll have to do a classroom training and a behind-the-wheel training. And that seems all really, you know, easy and fine and good. It's not quite that easy. I went through the classroom portion. It takes about 16 to 18 hours to do that. And then that has to be by a certified trainer. And the certified trainer has to be on this list that's put out by the FMCSA. And then you have to do the behind-the-wheel portion as well. And you have to have these two certificates in your hot little hand before you can present yourself to the DMV to even try to get your CDL. So we're putting another regulation into effect in February that's going to make it even harder. And typically, and, you know, at the crux of it, it's a great regulation. It's just really poor timing.
Yeah. Kelly Crapo is our guest. Kelly, a couple of text messages come in. One says that the FMCSA and their regulations is what's causing this. And this person's point is a lot of old timers just said to heck with it and they pulled the pin. And, you know, we've been talking and focusing on young drivers here, but did a lot of the old guys just say, you know, to hell with this, I quit?
Yep. In 2018, I believe, was when the electronic log devices went into effect. So gone are the paper logs. There's a few exceptions to the paper log rules. Those who have older trucks, livestock haulers, and short haulers, they're exempt from having an electronic log device. But now you are correct. If you are an over-the-road truck driver, you don't do a paper log anymore. You are federally mandated to have an electronic log device tethered to the ECM of your truck, and you have to do everything through that tablet or that phone. And I'll take my father as an example. If you told him he had to use an electronic log device at 72, he can barely, you know, operate a flip phone. That's not going to happen. And it feels as though, you know, you're kind of being strong-armed by the feds to, you know, drive a certain way, take a break when you won't need to. So they've really kind of dictated how you operate your truck and your day-to-day operations by this electronic log device. So, yes, when the ELD mandate went into effect a few years ago, we lost a lot of old-timers, as you say, because they just simply were not ready to tackle technology and get rid of that old paper log.
There's a question here about insurance. Hang with me, Kelly. I want to visit with you a little bit longer. Kelly Crapo, ladies and gentlemen, she is a director of safety. She works with True North. That's right, True North Compliance Services. And get this, Kelly Crapo is the director of safety. That's what she does. She wants things out there as safe as she possibly can have. But we're talking about regulations when it comes to the transportation industry and basically the shortage of truckers. And so we hung on to Kelly, and quite frankly, I'm glad she was willing to do that because more questions are coming in. One, Kelly, and I want to go back and make sure I word this properly so the individual doesn't get mad. This individual is saying the insurance company is not allowing drivers under 25 years old and wanting 2 years of CDL experience. How do they get experience when not many can have them? How do we get more drivers when insurance companies handcuff carriers?
That is a correct statement. Many insurance carriers desire the drivers to be age 25, 23 or 25. It kind of is in that area with experience, and you are correct. Sometimes you can get experience through to an underwriter with insurance by stating, you know, Johnny Driver here drove the semi on his family farm, or if he did some local hauling as well, you can get experience that way. But that is one of the areas that we do struggle, is to get young people insured. A smaller trucking company or a smaller carrier that has 4 or 5 trucks can't necessarily, you can always find insurance. I shouldn't say always, but you can find insurance for those individuals, but you're going to pay a lot of money for that. So a larger company, you know, a Swift or a, you know, a J.B. Hunt or something like that, can absorb one of those younger drivers over the age of 21, but under the age of 25. They can absorb that cost a little bit more than a smaller trucking company. But you are correct. Insurance is another battle that we need to probably face. And, of course, there's, you know, numbers and actuaries, and, you know, they go by, you know, the numbers that they have to go with, that, you know, younger people are riskier drivers. True or false, it is what it is. So that is correct, an area that we need to focus on, too, is trying to figure out how we can do that. If the FMCSA does go ahead and move that 18, or from the over the state lines from 21 to 18, that's really an area that's going to need a hard look, because if we need drivers and we can catch those young people, we're going to have to figure out how we can get them insured.
I get it. Couple other messages, people will come in. This individual says, I'm 64 and driving for over 40 years. This lady hit the nail on the head. The romance of the 70s is gone. Most of the drivers I know are from my generation. The future is bleak. Another one comes from my good buddy that, I've known him for years. He says, the company I work with is bringing trucking companies in from Canada to fulfill contracts because of driver shortages. Are you hearing that, Kelly?
You know, that is something I have heard. That is, you know, an area. There is, too, this past month I had tried to get somebody licensed from Africa. So we have some people that come over from Africa to do farming. And this particular company that I was helping was a farmer and a trucking company. And they're like, can we use some of our farm hands or our farm help on the trucking side? Well, you have to be a resident of the state in order to get that seasonal license. So it is a possibility if you can get that, you know, some of those people that come from another country, if you can get them a seasonal license here in the state of North Dakota, but they would need a residency here. But yes, those are some of the options that people are using. But yeah, because we're kind of at a point where we have to do whatever we can, you know, all hands on deck to figure this out. You know, another, you know, technology-driven area would be autonomous trucks, too. Truck drivers typically don't want me to talk about autonomous trucks because they're thinking, oh, we're going to be out of a job. Well, at this point, if we're short 1 million drivers by, you know, 2032, we have to think a little bit outside the box.
Sure.
So self-driving
Kelly,
trucks.
Hang on to that thought, Kelly. The clock's got me. I'm gonna have more of this conversation in a sec. We're getting a chance to visit with Kelly Crape. Kelly is the director of safety with True North Compliance Services. Kelly, do I still have you there? Are you with me?
I am here. Yep.
Okay, here's what's coming your way. There's a lot of people wondering, number one, is there such thing as a seasonal CDL?
Mm-hmm. There is. I just recently learned about that. In the state of North Dakota, there is. You have to be a resident of North Dakota and have a current driver's license, and then there are some application and things and some monies that need to be paid to the state. But yes, there is a seasonal CDL, but it would be only for a Class B. So that would just be a straight truck. So okay. No semi tractor-trailer combination. So if you had a grain truck or a gravel truck, something that was just, you know, one unit, so to speak, for Class B. So the seasonal in North Dakota is a Class B only.
Okay, other people saying, this person says, what are the Canadian regulations? As someone who drives I-29 frequently, I'm frequently praying as I pass a Manitoba license plate. Their regulations different.
Yep. So the hours of service rules, the medical qualifications and things like that, if you're a Canadian-based carrier, are a little bit different. I'm not super well-versed in Canadian regulations, but yes, they are different. If somebody from North Dakota starts their trip in North Dakota, goes up to Canada and comes back, yes, you have to abide by the Canadian rules while you're there. But typically, for hours of service rules, if you're abiding by the U.S. rules and not changing over to the Canadian rules, you'll be fine, because the U.S. hours of service rules are more restrictive than the Canadian hours of service rules. If you have a medical card here in the United States, you'll be fine in Canada as well.
Okay.
Those are kind of the same kind of rules. As long as you're good here, you'll be good there.
Joel, can you ask with this new rule, if you want your tanker hazmat endorsement, you will now need to take a road test. Thanks.
Yes. So for the hazmat endorsement, the H endorsement, you'll have to take the classroom portion. You won't have to take the behind the wheel, because most endorsements currently do not require any behind the wheel. You get your Class A, and then you just add on your endorsements, typically by a written test. So the new rule, you'll have to go to a specialized trainer to teach you how to, you know, all of the things that you need to know about the hazmat endorsement. So you'll need the classroom certificate. You won't need the behind the wheels, my understanding.
Okay. This individual says a lot of trucking companies will not go into California due to additional state regulations, thus part of the shipping ports issue. The shipping Amen. Ports suffer. Your thoughts on that, Kelly?
That is 100% true. So I think California, if your truck is older than 10 years, you have to get special emissions testings and things like that. There is the owner-operator law that might be on hold in California. So anybody that's an independent contractor, which owner-operators are considered, are not allowed in California. So any owner-operators kind of have some difficulty going there. Yes. Many trucking companies will avoid the whole California issue simply because it's a lot more regulation, state regulation, that is implied into, or you know, implied onto a truck driver if they want to go there.
Somebody says, if you haven't driven one of the last 3 years, also don't qualify for a lot of the good driving jobs. So an experienced driver has a hard time getting back in. Your thoughts about that?
That is correct. Once you've kind of lost, you know, it's unfortunate that you might have a ton of experience and then you take, you know, 8, 6, 8, 10 years off to go do something else for a while and you want to get back into the trucking company. The way that insurance and the FMCSA and, you know, other, you know, carriers that want to hire you look at you as though you don't have a ton of experience, which is unfortunate, because once you've learned how to drive a truck, you kind of, you know, it's kind of like riding a bike. Once you ride a bike, you don't usually, you know, forget that. But that is a true statement. It is hard when somebody's gotten out of the industry to get back in, because everybody's considered new, even though you have a ton of experience.
It's just over-regulation.
Agreed.
It's just over-regulation, everything you're telling me. Yes. Says, Joel, can you ask her, I'm blind in one eye, if I could still get a CDL?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I would have to do some checking on that, Joel, and I can get back to you. So there is some regulation. So there's a federal motor carrier safety regulations book that I could look into. I think that it would just be a vision variancy, but I can get you some information about that.
Interesting. Another one, February 7th, the new regulations will stop people from getting a CDL. Do you want to speak to that?
That is exactly what I spoke about earlier. So, if you wanted to just go get your CDL now, Joel, you could easily do that, fairly easily do that. Go in, you know, like I said, get your permit, do some driving around with a CDL person, and then you'd go in and take your test. Now you will 100% are mandated, if you want to have your CDL, you'll have to go to this classroom-based training and then the behind-the-wheel training, both that are going to cost you money. And it has to be a certified trainer. You can't just pick, you know, oh, you know, Grandpa Bob has been driving truck forever. He can train me. Nope, it has to be somebody on the list, on a training registry list that the FMCSA has put out for the classroom portion and the driving portion. Once you get those two certificates, then you can proceed to the DMV to get your CDL. So my suggestion to anyone that's thinking about getting an endorsement, a school bus endorsement, a passenger endorsement, or a hazmat endorsement, you should do that now so it'll be a little bit easier. And if you're thinking about getting your CDL, either a Class B or a Class A, I would do it now. It's going to be a little bit easier and cost you a little less money now than if you wait until February.
A text message comes in, Kelly, and it says you can't get a CDL if blind in one eye, as my husband wasn't allowed to. Another one wants to know what the rules are for farmers. Are they required to get a CDL? This is one of the ones I actually know the answer to, Kelly, but you go ahead.
So farmers and ranchers, if they're hauling farm-related or ag-related products, have 150 air miles safe zone. So if they're 150 miles within their farm or ranch, they do not. Once they venture outside that safe zone, all bets are off. So I had a gentleman I talked to yesterday who bought a new tractor in, I don't know, let's just say Green Bay, Wisconsin. So he took his one-ton pickup and his flatbed trailer and thought he could just drive to Wisconsin to pick up his new tractor. Well, he got stopped at the Wisconsin border and fined $1,000 because he thought because he was exempt because he was a farmer, he was good to go. Well, you're not. You're only exempted within that 150 air miles of your ranch or farm. Then all of the rules apply to you. And he's like, well, that's not fair. And I said, I understand. these are the rules. At that point, he either needed to be credentialed as a CDL driver, have his truck and trailer, have the annual DOT inspection, have a logbook, have a medical card, all of those good things. Or he needs to hire a contracted truck driver to do that for him.
Somebody said that if you get a DUI, you've lost your license for a lifetime. Is that true?
Nope. DUI is a 1 year. You would lose your CDL for 1 year. If you get an additional DUI after that, then it is a lifetime ban.
Okay. So you get one, you goofed up.
One-year suspension of your CDL, and then after that, you can reapply.
This question used to come at me back in my Senate days, which was, if you get stopped and you hold a CDL and you're not driving a semi, you know, that if you blow a .5 or a .05, that you would then lose your CDL. What are the rules in truck versus out of truck when it comes to alcohol consumption?
Yep, and there's a lot of miscommunication and misinformation about this. When I'm driving a semi, it's a .04, and I'm talking for the state of North Dakota. .04, if you blow a .04 or above, you will be given a DUI in your truck, obviously. But if I have a Class A license and I'm driving, you know, my Chevy Equinox and I get a DUI, it's a .08 because you're not required to use your CDL while you're driving the Equinox. So you can't apply CDL rules and regulations to the time that you're operating a non-CDL or a non-commercial vehicle. Does that make sense?
Yep.
That would be like saying if you got pulled over in your Chevy Equinox, that the officer can ask for your logbook. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
The rules only apply during the time that you're operating a commercial motor vehicle.
Okay.
So it's a .04 in your commercial motor vehicle and a .08 when you're in your personal vehicle.
Yeah, Kelly, Doug has a question for you. Go ahead, Doug.
Hey, good morning. Say, if a person did not ever possess a CDL and then did have two DUIs, could they obtain a CDL?
So that's an interesting question. Here's how it works, is it would depend on the years in which you've received them. Because, let's say, I'm just going to throw it in 1981. I'm just throwing out a year. If you got a DUI in 81, but the CDL DUI laws didn't go into place in your state until 89, that DUI in 81 would not count against you. So it's going to be kind of a timing game. So you'd have to run your motor vehicle report and look at the times that those DUIs occurred and then the CDL laws and kind of make a comparison, and then we could make a judgment call based on that.
Perfect. perfect. Well, thank you much.
Thank you,
You're
Doug.
Welcome.
Another question Bye-bye. Comes in and says medical diagnosis of narcolepsy with a prescription medication. The doctor won't give me a medical card. Is he right or wrong?
Ooh. Again, I would have to look up the regulations in what we call the green book to see where narcolepsy would fall and what medication it would be on. So if it's on a Schedule 1 or a Schedule 2 list of drugs, we would have to check that out and see where that would fall.
Somebody wrote, hazmat federal background fingerprint check is usually 10 days or under, but mine took just 41 days to get back. I couldn't do my job for 41 days. That's how backed up the government is right now.
Correct. And I will tell you, not picking on states, I'm a Minnesota girl and born and raised. I lived in, North Dakota for a while. I love North Dakota as well. Minnesota's struggling with keeping up with things. So what I mean by that is hazmat is federal. You're correct. Everybody in the state and federal government systems are so far behind. You need to plan ahead. And I know it feels like it shouldn't be our fault and we shouldn't have to, but this is the state of reality right now. Sometimes when you send your medical card in, your medical card has to get verified with the state. We've had instances where it's taken 60 to 90 days for them to get that uploaded in the state system. And in the meantime, they've downgraded the driver's license from an A to a D. And the driver's medical card was laying on somebody's desk at the state. So, yes, things are taking a lot longer. Hazmat, I always tell my drivers about 60 days ahead of time for your TSA background check. Medical cards, I would get those in at least 30 days in advance.
Okay. Somebody wants to point out that under the new rules, you're going to hurt bus drivers too. It says these new CDL rules will also affect people becoming bus drivers, which are also in short supply.
Correct. So the endorsement portion of your driver's license is the school bus endorsement, your S endorsement, and your P endorsement, which is your passenger. Those particular folks as well are going to need to go to the classroom portion of this new rule before they can go apply for their CDL to drive school bus or city bus or whatever. That is a correct statement. School bus drivers, as we all know, are also in a short supply, so this new rule is going to affect them as well.
Kelly, it looks to me like True North is operating out of West Fargo, correct?
Yeah. We're an entity of True North Steel.
Okay. Can we get you to come in here at some point and answer? More questions are coming. I mean, way more. So can we get you to come in or just take phone calls one day?
Absolutely. I would love to.
Let's see if we can't get a couple more people looking at a career in truck driving or at least make some legislators or congressmen or senators realize it's getting over-regulated. So,
absolutely.
Kelly, thank you. Thank you for coming on.
You're welcome. Thanks, Joel. I appreciate it. And I appreciate you letting me talk about my favorite industry and really a shout out to all truck drivers. We really appreciate what you do day in and day out.
That's the way to end this. Thank you to all you truck drivers out there. We need you.